First, though, U.S. Transportation Command fires its incumbent vehicle shipping contractor, America Auto Logistics, and gives the award to International Auto Logistics for $38 million less. Transcom says AAL's past performance wasn't worth the higher price tag, but some big problems with IAL's services have the agency thinking it may have gotten what it paid for. William Welch is a partner at McMahon, Welch & Learned following this protest for the Washington Business Journal. Bill, it's great to have you back on the program. The title of your piece is Price Matters a Whole Lot in Contract Wins, Even Maybe When It Shouldn't. This strikes me as maybe a textbook example of lowest price technically acceptable getting the Department of Defense into trouble. Do you think I have that right, Bill?
Well, you know, pretty much. This was sort of a hybrid. It's very unusual, a hybrid between a technically acceptable low cost and a typical best value. They set an initial threshold for technical acceptability, but then they said they would do a balancing trade-off between past performance and overall proposed price. And in this case, they tried to do the balancing, but they still came down on the side of price. The government said, you know, that this $38 million was too high of a premium to pay to get the incumbent back in. But one of the things that I pointed out in the article is that even though $38 million sounds like a lot, the contract value in this case was nearly $1 billion. So the percentage differences between the two companies were only about 4%. The incumbent was only about slightly less than 4% higher. And typically, the government's willing to pay a price premium of that pretty easily if they can get somebody they know is very reliable.
That's what the part of this that struck me is that the difference, you write 3.9%, almost 4, as you mentioned a moment ago. That's the number that jumped out at me, that the government was willing to take a chance for 4%. And especially, I mean, hindsight's 2020, and they had no way of knowing, of course, that they were going to run into the logistics problems that they did with the new contractor, that they were just not quite up to the job, or at least there was a learning curve. That's a kind of what I took away from what you wrote for the Business Journal was that's kind of not even the point. That 4% seemed to be the thing to me that was really amazing.
I agree, and I've been involved in many protests where the government's been willing to pay a far higher price premium than simply 4%. I mean, you know, even sometimes 20% is considered reasonable depending on the circumstance. But in this case, they didn't even want to pay 4%. So it looked more like a low-cost, technically acceptable procurement where they didn't really pay a lot of attention to the past performance here, at least not as much, I think, as they should have. And, you know, sometimes they luck out and get a good performance, and sometimes they don't. In this case, which I found kind of surprising when I found out later about the performance, you know, the new contractor had trouble putting everything together. And one of the concerns during the procurement was that this new company, or at least this new group of companies, had never performed all parts of it all at once, and so there was some definite question, and they were rated lower in past performance. But you know, the government had their eye on this $38 million, and they were going to try to get out on the cheap, I think.
And you write, GAO considered all of the arguments against the decision by the incumbent, American Auto Logistics from New Jersey. GAO, you said, held that Transcom's decision was reasonable and denied the protest. I imagine for your clients in the government contracting business, that can be pretty scary if they think that incumbency is going to give them a boost and they're not willing to come in with the absolute bottom dollar cheapest price.
Oh, I can't tell you how many times I've seen that. And, you know, everybody says incumbents have this wonderful advantage because they know how to do the work and they're going to get good ratings. But one of the things the incumbent knows is that the incumbent knows how much it costs to perform this work, which is why a lot of times they don't come in really low, and someone who doesn't know the work very well will come in really low and they'll win the contract. Away from the incumbent. So a lot of times, you know, it's sometimes you can know too much about the work involved and know how to price it properly, but someone else doesn't, and you could end up losing the contract.
And the ultimate thing here, too, is the confusion about what's intended. Some of these contracts come out, and it's very obvious. They're plain as day. We're going to buy the cheapest thing we can buy.
Right.
But you wrote that this was the perception, at least, seemed to be what I took away from what you wrote, was that early on, at least, AAL, the incumbent, thought they had a shot at this as a best value contract, and it would be logical for them to think, we already know how to perform this, so that's going to play into the decision about value. Is that on track?
Yes, I think it is. I think it is. You know, they were sitting back and relying on their good past performance, and you know, so they were going to price it accordingly. They were going to try to be competitive, but they were going to rely on their past performance and you know, good work history, and that the government wanted them back. A lot of times, the government wants them back, but they still don't want to pay that price premium. So, you know, you never can tell. One of the points I wanted to make, you never can tell which way these things are going to cut. Is the government really going to put a high value on good past performance, or are they just looking at the bottom line dollars?
Bill Welch of McMahon, Welch & Learned, writing in the Washington Business Journal. And I guess the issue there then becomes, and again, something that you're not the only one who's seen before, is in this case, at least, it looks like the government's saying they're going to do this one way and actually does do it another way. That's mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest bone of contention for the companies that are trying to do business with the government, right?
That's true, and you can't always prove that, because you know, you can't always get behind the, you know, what the evaluation documents actually say. You know, they'll paint it, you know, they'll paint a good picture to say, you know, we're going to have a $38 million price savings on, you know, or cost savings on this contract, when in fact, you know, that $38 million is only a relatively small percentage. So, you know, it's. It's hard to predict on these things, and because the GAO uses a standard of just reasonableness, was the agency reasonable here? It's sometimes hard to, you know, to win these types of protests.
Is there a way to read the tea leaves, Bill, or is this just a cost of doing business with the government? And I don't mean an actual dollar cost. Well, I guess it is a dollar cost if you're going to file a protest and bring you or one of your colleagues in. Is this just part of doing business with the government, Bill?
It really is part of doing business, because business from the government, I won't say it's guaranteed, but you know, once you win a contract, you're going to be around for a while unless you really screwed up. So, and you're going to get paid on time, pretty much. And sometimes you're going to get your contract expanded. So these things can be very lucrative, but you know, you can't always predict how the government's going to come down in the end, what they're going to really focus on. And sometimes the terms of the RFP or RFQ are going to be a little bit vague, and it's going to leave a lot of discretion to the agency. And you can't always guess, you know, what they're really looking for here.
I appreciate your insight, as always. Enjoy reading your column in the Journal, and I appreciate you coming on and telling my audience about it. Thanks for your time, Bill.
Thank you very much, Francis.